I think you'll be interesting. Well, there's a list of kingdom prophets. And for the next half hour, I'm going to go through this list one by one. Just kidding. But that's, if you look up here, you see Samuel. Have you remember him? And then I name him Saul 70. You remember when Saul prophesied? But you kind of just glance over the fact there were 70 unnamed prophets there with him. 70. We don't even know who they are. Gad, Nathan. Remember Nathan? Looked at David and said, "Thou art the man." Yeah. Of course, we talk about David being a prophet. Read the Psalms if you don't believe he is. Some of the great messianic prophecies given through David. Asaph and other psalmists. You know, not all the psalms are given by David, and that includes some of the prophetic psalms, and we don't know exactly who wrote them. There's a guy named Ethan, we know, wrote some of them. He-Man, only he's not master of the universe. God is. He-Man, though, was a prophet. Jeduthun, now some of you are like, there's no way. Check me out. He's in there. Agur, Ahijah, Iddo, Shemaiah, Azariah. I mean, you talk about a list of baby names. You better get a screenshot of this one. There's not one on the way, by the way. I'm just teasing them. I don't want you to... Ooh, he's talking about babies. Anyway, you can recognize a lot of these, Elijah and Elisha, but there's others in there. Micaiah, man. Huldah the prophetess. Huldah. You remember Huldah? How many of you remember Huldah? She's in there. The school is the school of the prophets that Elisha, you remember the axe head that floated? Remember that story? And that was the school of the prophets, the young men that were with him. Of course, it was during lunchtime. And something in the pot. Death in the pot. Isn't that what he says? There's death in the pot. All kinds of great stories behind all these. But look at all those men and a couple of women up there. Did I put Deborah? Oh, Deborah was before the kingdom, but Deborah's a prophetess in the Bible. So these are only the kingdom prophets. I didn't list all the ones before the kingdom. It's amazing stuff. And then he says, after mentioning these prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, he says, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. Even the surrounding nations heard God's warnings for Israel and would see them fulfilled. Same thing's true today. There are people today who mock you for believing what the Bible teaches about Israel's regathering and the whole rapture, 70th week of Israel, the Revelation 12 study that we did. They mock you. See what I mean? They're unbelievers, but they know about these warnings. And you know some of those same people are going to take the mark of the beast and go to hell? Isn't that something? Look at Joshua. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. Chapter 2. Verse 1, I'll read and then we'll go down to 9 through 11. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. This ought to be a pretty familiar story to most of you. Now jump down to verse 8 says, "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof." This is Rahab. Now read verse 9. "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Now, some of you may need some coffee, but do you realize what you just read? This is Rahab. This is Rahab. She just met her first Jews. She's never read the Bible. And she's telling the spies, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." She knows more than most Christians today. And she had never even read the Bible. And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Amen. Read verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. She knows more about the book of Exodus than most Christians do today, and she's never even read it. But she heard about it. Rahab, the harlot, in Jericho. A Canaanite. And she has heard about God's judgments. His warnings and His judgments. Just like we read about. It's what we're reading in Hosea. Look at verse 11. Read that. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Isn't that awesome? That's the testimony of a Canaanite prostitute. Wow. Yep. And she had not even resigned her position. She does this. This is the day she resigns. And she knows more about the Bible than most Christians in America today who have access to the Bible 24/7 every day of their life. Free of charge, and can come here and get on the internet and download 1,000 hours of Bible teaching, and they don't. Yep. And they're going, everybody in this room, online, on radio, wherever you hear this, Christians are going to be so embarrassed at the judgment seat of Christ. Yep. They are going to be so ashamed of themselves. There are going to be people in countries where they don't even have the whole Bible. And those people will know the Bible better than Americans. That's just something. But John Wesley said, the punishments threatened which fell upon this people did so fully answer the prediction that everyone might see them clear as the light and as constantly executed as the morning. And that's what he means when he says in verse 5, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. It's like a lighthouse with the light going forth. So God's word is sure. Amen?
Amen.
But each sinner must decide to abide by it or be destroyed by it. Do you realize everyone who goes to hell will go to hell by their own choice, and they will be destroyed by the Word of God? It will be the Word of God that judges them at the judgment seat of Christ, and it will be the Word of God that pronounces them guilty and declares their judgment to be cast into the lake of fire. All by the Word of God. You can choose that, or you can choose to allow the Word of God to be your salvation.
Amen.
James says, "And receive ye the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul."
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can choose then to be saved by the Word of God. How that Christ died for our sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then you can choose to then be judged by the Word of God when He stands and looks at you and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's a choice. And people are making that choice every day. And 150,000 people today either split hell wide open or went into the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
And tomorrow another 150,000 people are either going to split hell wide open or stand in the presence of Jesus. And it'll all be on them because God did His part.
Amen.
In verse 6, He says, for I desired mercy. Read that with me. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Deeds do not impress God unless it's from the heart. And if it's from the heart, when you do something good for somebody, you're doing it to, number one, please God, not yourself. And number two, you're doing it for His glory, not your glory.
Amen.
That's why all these, we call them do-gooders. The liberals out there. A lot of churches don't preach the gospel, don't have anything to do with seeing people saved from hell, but they are always doing good. Do-gooders. And God wants to just spit on it. Because they're not doing it to please God, and they're not doing it for His glory. And there's a lot of people who really, really think they're going to stand before God and be patted on the back for all the good works they did. And what He's going to reveal is they did it with a rotten, wicked heart.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be that way. You get saved and filled with the Spirit of God, and you start doing things because you want to please Him, work as unto the Lord. And I'm talking your work. I'm talking your job. I don't care if you're cleaning up some kid's puke.
Yeah. Amen.
Or teaching some Chinese kid how to talk.
Amen.
Or telling people what aisle they can find a hoe. I'm talking about the garden utensil. Not Rahab.
I'm glad you...
Or coding. Or wiping snotty noses. And I'm not talking about Charlie's. I'm talking about the kids. Or out scrapping. If you're doing it as unto the Lord, it's an act of worship. And everything you do for His glory, you're going to be rewarded for. Psalm 138:1 says, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. Now, the word gods is used the way us English use the word Lord. Like Lord Byron and Lord whatever, and small L. And the word gods is used a lot of times in the Old Testament about judges. Just like we would use the word Lord. Before the gods. I think we're coming down to the point where we're going to see a lot more of that in America, just like we're already seeing it in China, and we're already seeing it in Russia, and we're already seeing it in Mexico. We're seeing Christians who are being drugged before the judges, and they simply praise the Lord. And they tell them, I'm just preaching the gospel, I'm just doing what my God tells me to do, and that's all I can do. That's what this is saying. So, I guess what I'm saying is if you're not standing for the Lord and serving the Lord in your life as it is right now, you're probably not going to do it if times get really tough. Look at Mark 12 and verse 28. Mark 12, 28. I'll read as you're turning there. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now read verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Then verse 31, read that. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. That's what verse 6 in Hosea is telling Israel. I desired mercy and not sacrifice. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And in verse 7, But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. So the unrepentant sinner stands before a holy God. They will be judged for having transgressed the commandment and having dealt treacherously against the Lord. And all the while, God stands ready to forgive, but God doesn't play games. And let's go ahead and read the rest of the chapter, beginning of verse 8. Read through verse 11 with me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood, and as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen an horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he hath set an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. So there in verse 8, as we just read, Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. Gilead is means the Mount of Testimony. And by this time, it had become a sin city like Las Vegas, and which Tel Aviv and Jerusalem is right behind Tel Aviv today in Israel, and is full of blood. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail. I'm just going to say it because it's true. There's a lot of murder going on in the cities. In Chicago, every weekend, dozens of people are shot. Black people, their lives don't matter to the Democrat Party. They don't say anything about it. Weekend after weekend, dozens of people in Chicago, Illinois, almost all of them black, are shot and killed, mostly by other black people. That is a fact that you're not allowed to say in the United States of America because Americans hate truth. And they don't really care about black people. And that's what had happened in Gilead. Well, what's happened in Gilead is happening in our cities. And they're full of blood. And by the way, a lot of the blood includes young men and women being forced into sex trafficking. And then a lot of them are killed. And then their bodies are mutilated to the point they can't even identify them. Some just disappear and they never find their bodies. And that's going on in American cities. And it's going on in Israeli cities. It's going on in almost all the major cities on the planet right now. And your news media doesn't care. They're too busy trying to catch Donald Trump picking his nose. It's a joke. Our news media is it's the Democrat Party news media, and it's a joke. Amen. And as you read this in the Old Testament about Israel, if you're not seeing America, you're not reading it. I mean, what we see right here that God is condemning, and God is saying, I'm going to judge you. And that is exactly what you're seeing in America today. Look at verses 9 and 10. Read that with me. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murder in the way by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen an horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. This, look exactly who he's talking about here. The priests. People, I'm here to tell you, it is the preachers in the Episcopal Church, the preachers in the Presbyterian Church USA denomination. It is the preachers in the Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America. It is the priests in the Roman Catholic and Orthodox churches. It is pastors in too many Baptist churches today who are themselves wicked whores. And they've sold their souls. And all they're in the ministry for is for the paycheck and retirement plan. And they do not care about the butchered babies. And they do not care about the sex traffic. And they don't care about all the people missing every year. No, they're worried about Black Lives Matter. With this fake thing about blacks being gunned down by cops whenever there's twice as many whites gunned down by cops every year. And a good percentage of those blacks are gunned down by black cops. Why? Because they deserve it. You're breaking the law. You're threatening somebody. You should die. I'll tell you whose Black Lives Matter are the ones who are victimized all the time by these hoodlums. That's whose lives matter. But I'll include now, I save the best for last, are the fundamental evangelical preachers in this country are a bunch of cowards.
Amen.
They're not saying anything.
That's right.
As brave as a mouse.
Wow.
It's disgusting.
Amen.
You turn them on TV and radio. Today we're going to talk about the psychology of self-love. Exactly. That's exactly what they are. They have no spine, and it's because they're afraid they're going to lose their paycheck. This generation of preachers is the most pathetic in the history of the United States of America, bar none, easily. When we need men with courage, we have few. And the Republicans in our House and Senate, cowering, bowing before the Black Lives Matter atrocity. No leadership, nothing but cowardice.
Yep, that's right.
I've written to them and asked them for meetings. They won't meet with me.
Yep.
I don't have money, and they're cowards.
Amen.
And they don't even answer my mail anymore. The ministry was killing body and soul, given over to sexual immorality. The churches are filled with it, and the preachers aren't saying a word about it because the money keeps rolling in. And that describes most ministry today in the good old USA, as I just said. So let's close with verse 11. After all that, we need something happy clappy. Amen? Verse 11, read that. Also, O Judah, he hath sent an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. Sorry. It's a harvest of death and destruction he's talking about. Not a big positive ending there, verse 11. But I want to look at this example. We got time. Jeremiah. Shoot, I'm going to finish early even with this. Yeah. Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 29. Jeremiah 51:29. And the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against who?
Babylon.
See, Babylon is a great picture of Israel in Hosea, and it's a great picture of America today.
Amen.
It's a type. The fulfillment of Babylon is yet to come, and it'll be based in Rome. And go back and watch our Revelation 17:18 studies to learn more about that. But it says, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. Look what it says in verse 30. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. That's exactly what you're seeing in Israel, in Hosea, and seeing in America today. It's what I was just talking about. The ministry, ministers, political leaders who should know better, claim to believe in our Constitution. They have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They're a bunch of cowards. Now, this is no insult. It says they became as women. That's not an insult. You're the weaker vessel. All these movies. You ever think how funny it is that all of our men are becoming like women? And then when you watch the movies, it's all a bunch of tiny little girls beating up on men all the time. It's just perverted. Women used to want a big, burly man. Someone who was strong. Charlie's like, that's what Olivia wanted. And she got it. Well, yeah, I guarantee you if, you know, Charlie walked up to her and said, hi. Probably wouldn't have said another word. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. Read verse 31. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. Now that's where we get post office. One post, run to meet another. The post, from post to post, and we got the post office, and then postal service. Well, today, it would be internet. running to tell them, you're dead, you're done. It don't happen to America, folks. The only question is whether it's before or after the rapture, but America is going to die. America is going to pay for all the babies they butchered.
Yep. Amen.
And over and above all that, the wickedness we could go on and on about. Now read verse 32. And that the passages are stopped, and the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. Now, I don't mean anything by this. They're good, strong men who get shell shock. Today we call it PTSD. It's real. But what I'm talking about is what we're seeing more and more in the service today are men who got PTSD because someone said something they didn't like. We're seeing people right there, men of war who are affrighted. They're going on psych meds and getting the Section 8 release, medical release, and they haven't even seen action. That's going to get worse. Any nation turns against God is filled with that. They might be strong for a while, but they're against God, and at some point, God's going to turn it on them. Just like He did Babylon. Let's finish with verse 33. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest. Wasn't that what we just read in Hosea? A harvest. So it's not talking about corn. Turn the wrong way. Harvest. I had my little cheater there. There it is. Also, old Judah, he hath sent, set and harvest for thee. When I returned the captivity of my people, it happened in 606. It started finally in 586 BC. All of Judah was taken off to Babylon. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and all that's about that time. Then they came back just in time for the 69th week when the Messiah would come to be cut off. And when he was, then God gave him a period of time of transition from the law of Moses to the gospel of the grace of God. And then in 70 AD, they were surrounded by the Roman army and they were besieged to the point that they ate their own children. And then were destroyed. And what remnant remained was scattered. And they stayed scattered until 100 years ago. And they started going home. In 1948, became a nation again. And all of that is setting the stage for the final harvest.
Amen.
In the 70th week of Daniel, after the rapture.
Yep.
And that book is something else, isn't it?
Amen.
This ministry, all of us together, and any other ministry preaching the gospel and calling on sinners to repent, are serving the same role as the Old Testament prophets that we're reading about, including Hosea, and all those on that list, as we approach the rapture and the 70th week of Daniel.
Amen.
So having the musicians come forward, we're going to sing a closing song. And as they do, we're going to ask you a question. What about you? Are you saved and standing for God? Are you part of the end time ministry? You should be part of the end time ministry. And listen, what's happening, I think, to a lot of Christians is they're looking around and seeing everybody's becoming lazy and apathetic. But listen, that's what the Bible says is going to happen.
Amen.
But he also says that it doesn't have to be that way for you. You can still have a ministry. You can still pray for the lost loved ones and lost people in your life. You can still grab these free gospel tracts and give them to the unsaved people. You can look at anybody and ask them, have you ever sinned?
Amen.
And if they say no, then, well, have you ever lied? And if they say no, then say you just sinned.